Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Returning now to our study of the works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the prelude to the study of the fruit of the Spirit, which is much more encouraging and uplifting, but nevertheless, by the design of God, the works of the flesh precede it, and the works of the flesh are the contrast to the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to understand both. And so we're working through this list. The more extensive list is the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, there are nine beautiful, beautiful manifestations of the outworking of the Holy Spirit's regenerating and sanctifying power in the lives of His children. The works of the flesh, oh, there's a big list. Much more than nine. A big list. That how many are in that list is not even certain, depending upon different manuscripts, but at least 15 at the very minimum, and maybe as many as 17 different items. So it is a list that is almost twice as long as the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. I have divided the list into four categories, as you know. Number one, corrupted sex. Number two, corrupted worship. And number three, corrupted relationships. And it is that third one that we're working on now. And I've called this the general category, corrupted relationships, because all of these things tend to damage relationships between people. We live in a world of broken relationships. It's so pervasive, it's so common that sometimes people don't even realize how sinful, how unnatural, how wrong this is, having never known anything any different. All we've ever known is broken and strained relationships. All we've ever known is the struggle to establish and maintain good relationships with people. Sometimes we have a good relationship for years, and then something comes along and just completely destroys it. And there we are, left picking up the pieces, sometimes shaking our heads, wondering, what in the world happened? I thought I had a good relationship, a solid relationship. I didn't anticipate this. I didn't expect that anything could damage it, particularly not so quickly. How did that happen? And the answer is found right here in this list. It happened because of these sins, these sinful tendencies in the hearts of all people, and we need to realize that, yes, it happened because of sin that came into the life of the other person, but also because of our own sinful heart and our own sinful responses. And so we read the following list of sinful tendencies that all, in one way or another, damage our relationships with other people. And they are contentions, jealousies, and it starts with hatred. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. The first two we dealt with on the broadcast yesterday, hatred and contentions. And we move to number three, which is, in my English Bible, jealousies. Again, in the plural. So far, all of these have been in the plural. Hatred in the English Bible is in the singular, but in the Greek is in the plural. So you've got hatreds, contentions, jealousies. I think all of these are listed in the plural to remind us that these don't generally, and they really never, exist in solitary isolation. They are self-reproducing. They just are flowing out of the Adamic heart, just one right after the other. Not one hatred, but hatreds, plural. Not one contention, but contentions, plural. Not one jealousy, but jealousies, plural. Actually, the Greek word here is zelos, from which we get our word zeal. And the idea of jealousies is self-centered zeal, which resents the good which another enjoys. Sometimes it's translated bitter jealousy. Sometimes it's translated envy. And maybe envy gets closer. The English word envy may get closer to what's involved with this word, but jealousy and the idea of this zeal that's bound up in this word jealousy is important too. And really, many times we don't make any clear distinction in our thinking between the English word jealousy and the English word envy. They kind of go together. And so keep that in mind. Jealousy, which has various aspects to it, there is even actually a good aspect to it. God says that he's a jealous God. There's nothing about God that's sinful. No unrighteousness with him. So there are aspects of jealousy that are good. It's good to be jealous for your wife in a godly way, but it's possible to be sinfully jealous in regard to your wife. How can you be jealous for your wife in a good way? Well, to want an exclusive relationship with her. That's not bad, that's good. That's the basis of the marriage relationship. To be so sinful that you don't desire that, don't defend that, don't insist upon that, is not a good thing, that's a bad thing. You need to insist upon it for yourself, you need to insist upon it for your wife. For your part, you need to insist upon exclusive relationship with your wife. We're talking, of course, about the marriage relationship, and particularly the conjugal relationship, but also emotional intimacy. There must be a level of relationship with your spouse that is not shared by anybody else in all the world. You say, well, isn't it all right to have female friends? Well, yes, but be careful, because that which starts out as a legitimate friendship, if it's not carefully guarded, can grow into a level of emotional intimacy which rivals, and sometimes even exceeds that, which you enjoy with your spouse, and that's wrong. And jealousy, the right kind of jealousy, is what guards that. We will not let that happen because we have a holy jealousy for this God-given righteous relationship, this marriage relationship that God has designed to be the closest intimacy that is known to the human family, and it's right to guard that and defend that and not let anybody else into that circle in any way. Not admit anybody else into the circle of the sexual activity that is designed and given by God only for marital intimacy. Otherwise, you have corrupted sex back to the first category of these works of the flesh. And don't allow anybody else into the emotional intimacy that is necessary for marriage, that the marriage was designed for. What is the most basic quality, the most basic need that marriage addresses? Well, it's a need for companionship. That's the, in many ways, the very heart of marriage. What did God say to Adam in the garden? He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper or a companion suitable for him. And so he made Eve and established the first marriage, and tells us what is the basis of marriage. It is companionship. It is friendship. It is emotional intimacy. Everybody needs somebody that they can talk to, can open up to, can share with on the most intimate level without fear of that harming them, without fear of being betrayed, without fear of having that being used against them, as it so often is in this world of sin. And we're talking about the results of sin. So everybody needs somebody like that, and marriage is the solution for that. And marriage needs to be entered into with that understanding, and that kind of emotional intimacy needs to be enjoyed and developed and guarded within marriage. And marriages break down when that emotional intimacy is no longer cherished, is no longer developed, is no longer guarded. When couples are no longer talking to each other, that's where marriage begins to break down. And then, somewhere along the line, what often happens is somebody else comes along that you enjoy talking to, like you no longer enjoy talking to your spouse, because of who knows what that has caused damage to that relationship. Maybe you never had that kind of friendship with your spouse. Maybe you just were attracted to each other sexually and just got married and never developed that. And now somebody else comes along that you find it enjoyable to converse with in a way that you should be conversing with your spouse. But now you're conversing with somebody else and developing a friendship that is beyond casual, beyond the legitimate. Because you actually have a friendship with somebody else, which is a closer friendship than you have with your spouse. No, it's not wrong to have friendships with other people of the same sex. It's just wrong to have friendships with anybody that is a closer friendship, a better friendship, a more valued, a more cherished friendship than the one that you have with your spouse. And you shouldn't have exclusive friendships with anybody else. Your spouse should represent a level of exclusive companionship that belongs to nobody else in all the world. Any other friendships that you have that are legitimate ought to be shared with your spouse. Is it all right to have a friendship with somebody else of the opposite sex? Did I say same, but of the opposite sex? Same and opposite. You can have friendships with either one. Is there anything wrong with having friendships with someone of the opposite sex? Well, not if your spouse is involved with that friendship as well. But if you're not willing to do that, if it's a friendship that you reserve for yourself, but you wouldn't want your spouse to be involved with that, you wouldn't want them to know about it, or you wouldn't want them to be involved with it, you wouldn't include them with it, then there's something wrong with it. It's as simple as that. And it's as seemingly innocent as that, but it's not so innocent. And the right kind of jealousy will understand that and will guard this relationship. I will not let anybody into my marriage relationship that would threaten what the marriage relationship is supposed to be at every level. I am jealous for my wife in a godly way, just like God is jealous for His people. God wants an exclusive relationship with His people in which they regard Him as God, worship Him, esteem Him, put Him first, love Him more than anything and anyone else in all the universe. That's good, that's right, that's proper, that's healthy, that's beneficial to us whenever we allow anyone or anything else into that relationship that belongs only to God. Then we are involved in false worship, then we are in trouble, and then we are offending the holy jealousy of God, whose jealousy guards that relationship in a proper way. But there is, of course, a very sinful side of jealousy. And that's what we're talking about here in the works of the flesh. And we'll have to talk more about that on the broadcast tomorrow. Until then, please join me tomorrow. And until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.